Where did the summer go?
Like, this isn't for dramatic effect. This is like for real. State Fair is this weekend. That's crazy. Both my girls are in school right now. That's crazy. And can you believe September's a week away? A week away. It's great. So that means we come to the end of our outdoor services. For those of you who are new, just joining us online, every August we have these outdoor services at the Shoreview Community Center. And there are people, they look forward to that all year long. And this is it. This is the last of that series. We always try to do our best when we do those outdoor services to pick a series that is going to be really helpful and really practical for people so that when they're walking by, they might stop and go, hey, that's something I can listen to. And there were multiple times during the series where something like that happened. So this is it. This is the last of our series for our outdoor services. This is part four of a four-part series on trust. And we've gotten a lot of feedback from this series. It's been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of people who've said, I found this really, really, really helpful. Because we've been talking about biblical principles. We've been giving examples from the Bible of people who are trustworthy and people that weren't. We've also done our best to give really, really helpful, practical content that you can apply at home. You can apply this at work. You can apply this at school, with your teams, with your friends. You can apply this, you should apply this with strangers. So we've been talking about trust. And every week during the series, we've referenced a specific book. This is a book called Trust by Dr. Henry Cloud. If you want a resource where you can take a deeper dive into these things, I can't recommend this book highly enough. He lists the five essentials of trust and goes into them in depth. There's great content in there about how do you earn trust. There's great content in there. In fact, a whole section on how do you restore trust once it's been broken. There's great information in there about how do you protect yourself from repeating past mistakes. If you're only going to read one book this year, read the Bible. If you're going to read two books this year, read the Bible and trust. That's what I would recommend anyway. Well, today, as we bring our summer series to a close, we're going to talk about how all of this we've been talking about so far, this teaching on trust, how that relates to what the Bible says about walking by faith. Because the Bible says that. The Bible says walk by faith. Here's what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, if you just pulled that verse out of context, which we kind of did here, if you just pull it out and you just read it straightforward, we walk by faith, not by sight, it seems like it's making a contrast. Which one do you do? Do you walk by faith or do you walk by sight? If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. If the Bible says we walk by faith, is God exempt from demonstrating trustworthiness? In this series, we learned, how do you discern trustworthiness? How do you know when you should trust somebody? How do you earn trust from others? And we found there's five things, these five essentials he talked about. Are they able to keep their promises? Do they have the right amount of understanding? Do they have trustworthy character and motivation? And then what's their track record? If the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, what are we supposed to do with that? We put God in a different category? And is that wise to do, especially in light of something we discussed earlier in this series? In this series, we said if you had higher stakes, you better have even higher trust, or you're setting yourself up for a fall. The stakes could not be any higher than the stakes that Jesus of Nazareth gave to us. He said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, you want to be my disciple, you take up your what? You take up your cross and follow me, he said. The stakes get any higher than that? Jesus is saying, if you're going to trust me with everything. Christianity is a full life orientation, all of it, around the life and teachings of Jesus. Well, if he's going to call for that level of commitment, shouldn't he call for or demonstrate the highest levels of trustworthiness? Okay, so here's where all of this gets really, really challenging, really, really fast. If you set out to follow Jesus, There are going to be countless times where you're going to see something, or you're going to hear something, or you're going to experience something that doesn't make sense. It's going to happen. And that leaves you a lot of times thinking things like, how do you trust a God who allows people to harm one another the way that we see? Why doesn't God heal people that we care about when it seems like that would be the good and loving thing to do? Why would God allow us to have desires, strong ones, that he puts boundaries around? Why would a good God do that? Does God not have the ability to help? Does God not understand our situation? Should we be questioning his character, questioning his motivation? And is this adding up to a track record of a God who fails to keep his promises? I think these are important questions to ask. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. It is hard to trust when you don't understand. Isn't that just true, right, in life? If you don't understand what someone's asking, or this doesn't make sense, this seems like the wrong thing, it's hard to trust in those situations. So if we apply this to God, you and I are not the first ones to ask these questions. If you've ever had these questions, you're not the first one to ask. I had just finished reading through a section of the Bible in my own reading, a Bible that many people call the Minor Prophets. If you haven't done that for a while, it is really something. If you have your Bible with you, let's take a look at one of these minor prophets. Open with me to Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I want to let you know, too, if you don't have a Bible at home, there's a great free Bible resource you can download. You can go to Bible.com. They've got a great Bible app that we recommend highly. All right, here we go. So what we're reading right here, these are words that go back thousands of years. In fact, the words we're about to read here, it's tough to date them with absolute precision, but they're estimated about 600 years or so before the time of Jesus. So these words, these thoughts have been out there a long time. They come from a prophet named Habakkuk. And what we see here is he is crying out. He is being raw. He is being honest. He is saying, this is how I feel, God. And so here we go. Verses 2 through 4. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you, look what he says to God, why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction, violence, they're before me. Strife and contention rise. So the law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so the justice goes perverted. That's a lot of raw honesty there. What Habakkuk saw around him, it did not match up with what he understood the character of God to be. It didn't seem to fit. Consider the strength of those words. Lord, how long do I have to cry out and you're not going to answer? I'm surrounded by violence, destruction, lawlessness, wicked surround the righteous. Where are you? Where are you? And he continues on. I encourage you to read all of it. He continues on. He goes, he describes, get this. See if this doesn't sound relevant. He describes how people get other people drunk so they can take advantage of him, of them. That's in there. It's in the Bible. He compares people to fish who are being caught, caught in nets, tricked into biting a hook. He said, that's what's happening to people. Let's jump ahead to verse 13 and look at this. He's like, how can you be okay with this, God? So verse 13, you who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? How many of you ever wrestled with these kind of things? Like, where are you in this situation? Where are you, God? Well, as I've wrestled with these things, one of the best frameworks that someone said to me once is they said, the object of your faith is more important than the amount. And the more I thought about that, the more I'm thought, there's something to that. In fact, with a show of hands, how many of you would rather have a little bit of faith but walk across a frozen lake where the ice is 2 feet deep? That's option one. Then have, I have a lot of faith, I have a lot of confidence, but I'm going to walk across ice that can't hold me up. Which one? Option one, option two? Option one, right? Henry, have you been out on a frozen lake before? Have you been on that? Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to take little faith, strong foundation, right? That's what I want to talk about then a little bit. Okay. Let me give you another example of this. Last week I was at our outdoor services and I was talking to one of our elders, Dale. Dale had just come back from rock climbing with his family. If you're rock climbing, is it better to have a little bit of faith, but you've got a strong rock solid foothold or handhold, or have, I got a lot of faith, a lot of confidence. In fact, I'm just going to jump from this to there and it crumbles before you, right? The object of faith is more important than the amount. That conversation about rock climbing led to a conversation about the movie Free Solo. Show of hands, how many have seen Free Solo? It is so good. It's a documentary. Go watch this thing. It is unbelievable. It's a documentary about a climber named Alex who climbed the 3,200-foot sheer face of El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. And they call it Free Solo because he climbed it free of any ropes. So it is life and death. And he talked about this documentary is so insane because he talked about some of his holds were imperfections in the granite. He's trusting his life to being able to have a grip on imperfections in the granite. It's crazy. All right. I think all that illustrates the point we're trying to make here. The amount of faith isn't as important as the object. When you got something rock solid, it's going to hold you. When you got something rock solid, that's going to hold you as long as you grab hold of it. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to, as we bring this series to a close, I want to talk about four things that we can anchor to. Four things that will help us anchor to that which is solid when our prayers appear to go unanswered, when we see things and hear about things and experience things that this doesn't make sense. In those times, how can we get our grip on something really, really solid? And here's what was really fun. As I started thinking about these things, they all connect. These anchor points, they all connect with the five essentials of trust. This is so fun. I want to show you this. Okay, look at this. All right, four anchor points. When our prayers come unanswered, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Number one, the creation. The creation. When life doesn't make sense, just go outside. Go outside with eyes wide open. You know, get out from the city and look up at the heavens. The Word of God says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And they do. Look up there. Consider the vastness of space. And then this. Consider how these same planets and stars, this is so cool, these same planets and stars throughout history, they're more than just beautiful. They've guided people for centuries. They mark seasons. They mark days. They mark festivals and celebrations. You see any spiritual layers to any of that? So when we zoom out and just look at the vastness of this universe, it declares the glory of God in a universal language. And here's what else happens. When you zoom in, you have a similar experience. I've talked about this many times before. Right around the time when I was ready to walk away from the Christian faith, that's right around the time where I was having my first experiences in science classes, chemistry classes, physics classes. That's when I first started looking into a microscope. And I'd been told, growing up, that there's this thing, this simple life started because the right pieces were in the right place at the right time and the right circumstances, and then what was simple became complex. Take a look into those microscopes. There is no such thing as simple life. I look into those microscopes. I study these things. It sure appears as though we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In the series on trust, one of the essentials we learned about when it comes to discerning is someone trustworthy is, are they able? Do they have the ability to make good on their promise? It sure looks a whole lot when I look at this universe. That sure looks like ability to me. And it looks like ability that is on a level that is way beyond our own. So that's anchor point number one. Anchor point number two, the canon with one N. There are different meanings for the word canon when you see it with that one end. And generally what they're doing is they're talking about a word that comes from a Greek word that means measuring stick. If something is canon, it is considered true. If something is canon, it's definitive. It's trustworthy. The collection of ancient documents that make up our Bible, that's our canon as Christians. These are the most highly vetted documents in human history. And I've never encountered anything like these documents. Not only do they have just such a remarkable unity in their diversity, but the way they describe our world, the way they describe the human experience, it matches up. That we are created in the image of God. It sure seems like there's this image within people, and yet there's this fallen aspect where we're drawn to these things that we shouldn't be drawn to. That sure fits my experience. Our world appears also beautiful but broken. That it's as if there is a curse that must be lifted that's going to help us all flourish together. The more time I spend in the Bible, the more I see the Bible gets us. And it gets us at a level beyond even the level that we get ourselves. So that sure sounds a lot like understanding to me, which is one of the essentials of trust. And an understanding that goes even deeper than our own understanding. All right, anchor point number three, the Christ. The Christ. Now, I remember where I was when my eyes got opened to this reality at another level. Because I had grown up hearing about Jesus, he died on the cross for our sins. But there's the difference between like knowing that in your head and then knowing it here, right? I've given the example before of, I call it shark. So you can know there's a shark in the water. You can know that sharks exist in the ocean. You can know that here. But let's say you're swimming in said ocean and you got your scuba mask on and you look down and here comes this great white shark coming up from the bottom that wants to turn you into a highlight reel for Shark Week, right? You see that, and all of a sudden it's not, oh, intellectually, I know that there's sharks in the ocean. Now it's like, there are sharks in the ocean! So I had my, oh, wait, yes, with Jesus, and understanding that on a whole different level, I remember very vividly, I was listening to a podcast. It was about 20 years ago. And I was going through this dark valley. There were some things happening at the church that I was a part of that just made no sense. And I couldn't understand why God was allowing these things to happen to this church I loved. And I was pulling into a Holiday gas station in Mora, Minnesota at the time. And this pastor was talking on this podcast and he was talking about how you can be going through these dark valleys. And if you're trying to walk by faith, and things don't make sense, you can know that God is still with you. You know that he cares. You know that he understands. You know that he sees you because of the cross. I'm like, yes, yes. Humanity's has had its low points before. You don't get lower than God on a cross. You don't get lower than that. I can't think of a greater injustice than the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. And so you've got Jesus who experiences this thing, who says, in this world, you will have tribulations. Does anyone understand that? He does. Does anyone understand the innocent being condemned to death? He does. He gets it. But he says, in this world, you're going to have these tribulations. But take heart. I've overcome the world. I can give you a peace that won't make sense to anyone else because it's not a peace that rests on these things the way that we see them. That was a shark moment for me. What greater statement can God make that he is with us even when things make no sense at all than the cross? That sure sounds an awful lot like character. That sure sounds a whole lot like motivation to me, which are two essentials of trust and character and motivation that is of the highest form. All right, let me give you one more. Anchor point number four, his church. And I put in parentheses, a track record of both inspirational examples and cautionary tales. Now, some of you might go, no, hold on a second. The church is the biggest reason I don't trust Christianity. I don't believe. Let me challenge that a little bit. I used to think that too. I'm like, the biggest stumbling block for me is people who identify as Christians. I don't want to be like them. Then I took a closer look. Is the problem with Christianity itself? Or is the problem with people who identify as Christians but they're not following the example and teaching of Jesus. Is the problem Christianity itself, or is the problem people are twisting the message that Jesus gave and the example that he set? Is the problem Christianity itself, or is it people who ignore these teachings altogether? Is humanity at its best when we're living lives that are aligned with the way of Jesus, or is humanity at its best when we're not? Jesus said, it's better that I leave you. He said, when I leave you, I'm going to send my spirit. And Jesus kept his promise, and he poured his spirit out on this group of people. And these people, they weren't perfect, but these people went out. They changed the world. Changed the world. We've got a track record. We have a track record of people following Jesus and people not following Jesus. Not just in the church, but outside the church. And again, I ask you, is humanity at its best when we're going away from the example of teaching of Jesus? Or is humanity at its best when we're following him closely, his ways and his teaching? That's true in every generation, every culture, every place people put their trust in Jesus authentically. Well, to me, that sure sounds a lot like a track record. And a track record unlike any other that we compare it to. So let's recap, shall we? We find an ability in God's ways that is beyond our own. We find an understanding at a soul level. We find character and motivation of the highest order. We find a track record that happens when humanity follows the teachings and example of Jesus and when we don't. Walking by faith is not just compatible with the five essentials of trust. It's not just compatible when you place your faith in the God of the Bible in an empty tomb about 6,000 miles from here. You are placing your faith in the one who has demonstrated a trustworthiness that is rock solid. And I'll go even, it's more than rock solid because he's the one that created rocks. When we're going through these dark valleys, when we see, when we hear of, when we experience things that make no sense, when it feels like we're in the midst of a storm, we're about to go under, cry out like Habakkuk did. But as you cry out, hold on tight. Hold on tight to these things you've been talking about. And perhaps you're going to land where he did. Look at this. This is where he lands at the end of, near the end of Habakkuk. Chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. He got to a point where he says, though the fig tree does not bud, though there's no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. I will be joyful in God my Savior. That sounds a whole lot like walking by faith and not by sight. I don't think these things are opposite. Before we seal our series with a song, we have an invitation. I got a question for you. So let's do those two things right now. Here's my invitation. We invite you to leave blind faith behind. Christianity is not about blind faith. It is the opposite. It is faith with eyes wide open. Take a close look at our world. Take a close look at those teachings. Take a close look at who God claims to be through his word. We invite you to strengthen your faith by pressing in, eyes wide open. Take a closer look at his amazing creation. Take a deeper dive into the Holy Scriptures. Reflect deeply on the sign of a Savior on a cross. And look at the story of human history. Are we or aren't we at our best when we're living lives that are closer to the life that Jesus modeled and taught? But again, wait, you might say, what about that verse? There was that verse that said we walk by faith, not by sight. What in the world? Let's go there. Let's go there right now. And let's start with the Greek word that we translate as faith in our English Bibles. The Greek word pistis isn't the opposite of trust. It means trust. It means belief. It means confident. This word pistis, it's used 227 times in the New Testament. Of those 227 times that word that we translate as faith, guess how many times it's used to describe faith in God or faith in Jesus or faith in spiritual things. Of the 227, guess how many times that word is used to describe those things? Anyone want to guess? 227, exactly right. In the New Testament, the only time that word, which means trust, is used is when it's referring to that which cannot be shaken. This isn't faith up and against what we see. It is putting our faith in that which we can focus on that is eternal, that is unshakable. It's not trusting these things that we think should be one way or another, or things that appear to be a certain way. It's putting our faith. We're not walking by sight like the world sees. We're walking by sight that is fixed. Our eyes are fixed on these things of God. And if you don't believe me, go right now. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Read the whole chapter. Read that verse in context, because that chapter is describing how in this life, in our bodies, we are groaning, it says. We are groaning for this age to come. And we're to fix our eyes on that. Fix our eyes on that. We don't place our faith in these lesser things. We place our trust in that which is beyond rock solid. So that's our invitation. We invite you to go beyond blind faith. Consider his ability. Consider his understanding. Consider his character. Consider his motivation, his track record, and consider it with eyes wide open. So that's our invitation. Here's that question that I promised. There's a place to write this in your notes. Would you rather have a guide you always understand? Or would you rather have a guide you can trust? Would you rather have a little G God who's so small that everything that this God does, I completely get it. Completely get it. That makes total sense. Or would you rather put your faith in a big God, big enough to create a universe, a God who does things that don't seem to make sense because his ways are higher than our ways? I'll tell you this, I can't count the times I've been wrong. When what made sense to me, if I'm going to walk by my sight, I'm going to choose these things that are not right. I can't count the times I've trusted people. I've trusted things that made sense, and they let me down. I can't count the number of times. And I'm no expert rock climber, but I'd imagine having four solid anchor points, that's pretty good. Because I'm going to guess there's times those rock climbers are happy to have three. I bet there's times they're happy to have two. I bet there's times they're happy to have one. We got four. And let me go beyond that. This isn't just about us having the strength to grip the rock. Could you all do this just for a second? Grab your wrist like this. Just from yourself, you can do it. And feel that tight grip. This is what we're invited into. Where it's not just us holding on, and there's times we don't have the strength, right? There's a God who wants to do this with us. Hold on to us like this when we're in those times that don't make sense. That's what we're invited into. When we're not held by our own strength, when we authentically walk by faith, we're in his grip. If any of you could use more of that, oh, then I want to recommend putting your faith in Jesus, the one who says, I got you, trust me. Would that give you a little more joy in chaos, a little more peace that makes no sense to anyone else? You know, sometimes when we trust God, we are able to see. Sometimes we're able to see after the fact, oh, that was good that I did that. In fact, it was funny. I was in the car with the family a week or so ago. There's a Garth Brooks song that says, I thank God for unanswered prayers. It was so funny, you know, because he was singing the whole thing up. I prayed this, and I'm glad God didn't answer that, because what I got was better. Sometimes we are able to see the better, but then there's other times where we don't know, that we don't just see. This doesn't make any sense, where we can really relate to Habakkuk's prayers of God, this is just wrong. I know this is wrong. You know this is wrong. Why are you letting it happen? At this year's Global Leadership Summit, we got a story, or true story, of somebody. This person, this Global Leadership Summit, which, by the way, reaches 250,000 leaders. You got to come next year. They told the true story of a 17-year-old girl. She was the daughter of an Olympic wrestler. The wrestler's name was John, so they named her Johnny after him. And many of you know her story. She dove into water. It was a reckless dive. She didn't check first, and she ended up being paralyzed from the neck down. And I think about situations like Johnny's when we're singing a song like Firm Foundation and we're singing these words, he's never let me down. And I think about, how does she sing a song like that? Because where was God when I was diving in that water? Why didn't he say stop? Why didn't he prevent this? Why didn't he heal me? They had her at the Global Leadership Summit. She came and spoke in person. 40 years. The reason she was there is because she has had this ministry for 4 decades. Johnny and Friends Ministry, of which she's the CEO, it's reached about 14 million people. 14 million people. She's an author. She's an artist. She's influenced legislation that has made it possible for people with disabilities to have accessibility that they didn't have before. And here's the thing. She's also honest. And she's also authentic. And she was able to just share. She goes, when that happened to me, you know what I wanted? I wanted to end my own life. And here's how powerless I was. I couldn't even do that because I couldn't move. I couldn't even end my own life. And she talked about how even now she has all of this pain. She's battled cancer. She, all of these things. And she says, yeah, it is really, really hard. In fact, how many CEOs do you know that can't feed themselves? So she shared that and we're all like this. But what really touched our hearts was how she doesn't blame God for this. She said that was a reckless dive. That's what she blames, a reckless dive. And while she wouldn't wish her pain on anyone else, so many of us were really wiping our tears when she said things like this. She goes, you know what? Sometimes our natural talents can get in the way. When she said things like this, I may not know why, but God has his reasons. When she said this, she quoted Philippians 1:12, which says, what happened to me has served to advance his gospel. And she shared things like this. She said, there are more important things than walking. She said, like the 1.3 billion people around the globe right now that have disabilities, many of whom are in poverty, many of whom in their countries, it's a sign that you've been cursed. And they've got, her eyes are set on, how do we reach the 1.3 billion? There is so much that Johnny Erickson Tada still doesn't understand. But let me ask you one more time. Would you rather have a guide who you don't fully understand or one that you can trust? A guide who will never leave you. A guide who will never forsake you. A guide who won't promise you'll never experience trials. That says you will. But a God who can bring beauty from ashes. Did God let Johnny down? Nope. She says herself, that was a reckless dive. Did God let you down? Or is it more complex than that? Was it a broken world that let you down? Was it your dad? Was it your mom? Was it a friend? Did church let you down? Or is it more complicated than that? Was it people who forgot what church is all about? Dark valleys are going to come. You don't have to walk them alone. You can invite God's presence with words like these from Habakkuk. Look what he says. He says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand, he says, in awe of your deeds, O Lord. And then he asks this. He says, would you repeat them in our day? So we are going to seal this series with a prayer asking for us to be able to put our full trust in God. And then we're going to proclaim who he is and his trustworthiness with an amazing song. So wherever you are right now, in fact, somebody right now, if you're hearing this and you're like, wait a minute, maybe this is for me, would you join us in this prayer? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you don't call us to choose faith or sight. You ask us to look beyond what our eyes appear to see. Lord, we thank you that you don't invite us to have blind faith, but you invite us to look at this world and look at the ways that you've demonstrated your awesomeness through your creation, how you get us through your word. this ultimate sign of you care and are for us of the cross. And faithful people who throughout centuries have lived lives that honored you and how you've used them in the past and even today with people like Johnny to make a difference. Lord, we pray that right here, right now, in this moment, your Spirit would be in work in our lives in such a way where we could put our trust in you. And we could choose to not walk by faith in the things of this world, but we could put our faith in you. That right here, right now, we could say, God, I want to turn from my old ways. I want to follow you. And Lord, we're so thankful that because of that cross, we can start fresh. We can leave that life behind. And step by step, one day at a time, you can change us and transform us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that invitation. We thank you that you welcome us home. And Lord, now we want to proclaim your goodness through this song. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.